Well, here we are on this first Sunday in December. Probably for all of us, it really is true. We realize if we weren't before, we are certainly now fully immersed in the Christmas season. 21 days. The clock, the countdown has sort of started, hasn't it? And don't you know it's going to wind down quick. These next 3 weeks will go by faster than any other. And in many ways, for many, they might be busier than any other. Christmas is coming. It seems that it's becoming earlier and earlier that we're reminded of that. The weather turns cold, maybe the first snow falls. And many are then immediately ready to start preparing for Christmas. No matter what month it is, no matter how far away the day itself is. Anymore, often Thanksgiving, that holiday in and of itself, can be completely overlooked. From Halloween candy, we skip right to Christmas decorations and Christmas gifts filling the store shelves. No wonder the turkey's jealousy of Santa, as indicated by this picture you might have seen during the Thanksgiving season. I don't know how well you can read that. Wait your turn, fat man, is what it says. The turkey wanting his day. No matter how early they seem to appear, the signs of the Christmas season are clear and are now very present. The decorations come out, the lights go up. The Christmas music gets played. In our van, the radio station is set. I believe it's the 96.1 that has the Christmas music 24/7. We have turned, shame on us, from the Christian music to the all-the-time Christmas music. The calendar gets filled. How about this? All the pumpkin-flavored coffee drinks have been replaced with the peppermint flavored ones. Gift lists are made. All the catalogs begin to arrive in the mail. The emails announcing new deals. Those emails never seem to stop. I have to tell you, Jenny is very creative in her usage of my email. She shops, and everywhere she does, yes, I would like to be on your email list. Here is my husband's email. Evidently, every day since about mid-October is now considered and called Black Friday. Do you remember there used to be only one? Literally, the Friday after Thanksgiving was Black Friday. Evidently, why have one when you can have a gazillion? It's Sunday, for goodness sakes. It's not even Friday, but this morning, just like about all the other mornings over the past 2 months, my inbox was filled with today's, Sunday's Black Friday deals that I dare not miss. That coupled with lengthy gift lists, the credit card comes out and the spending begins, right? All of it. Very clear, very present signs of Christmas coming. And though we value those things that are certainly a part of the Christmas time, and we do value them, don't we? In many ways, it's those things, I really believe this to be true, it's those things that make this season to be the most wonderful time of the year. It is the music. It is the lights and the decoration. It is the family gathering. It's the gift giving. All of it. Beautiful, wonderful for sure. We value those things. And yet we would also fully understand, but the real reason for it all, Jesus. In the church and amongst Christians, this time of the year, it's more traditionally known as the season of Advent. Advent means coming or arrival. It's not the coming of Christmas Day. It's the coming of Christ. It's the celebration of that. It's the celebration of this, according to John chapter 1 and verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. This morning, the encouragement for you, for me, for all of us, for sure. Enjoy this time of the year. It's going to go by quick. Enjoy every moment of it. Don't be afraid to slow down just a little bit more so as to enjoy it a little bit more this season of Christmas time. But with that, don't forget this. Really, in fact, maybe better to say, enjoy, celebrate this most of all, the Advent. His Advent. His coming, his arrival. Let me just share with you three thoughts this morning. First, this, the Advent is the reminder, the celebration of this. He has come. The true light that gives light to every man has come. Unto us a child is born. To us a son has been given. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He has come. God's most precious gift to us has come. The light has come. The Savior of the world has come and has secured for us then our redemption. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Advent. His Advent. He's come, and because he who has come is Jesus, the Savior, we have forgiveness from our sin. That's the real reason for celebration. Whether it's this time of the year or any other, no matter the sins of my past, no matter even the sins of my future, he's Jesus, the one who saves me from them all, the one who forgives me of them all. He's Jesus, the one who removes from me my sin as far as the east is removed from the west. He's Jesus, the one who sinks all my sins in the bottom of the ocean. My sins were as scarlet, but he's Jesus. He's the Savior, and he's come, and my sins have now been washed away, not been made white as snow. In the very beginning, in the garden, sin came into the world. And with the sin came separation from God. And God being the source of life, separation from him resulted in death. The garden was this beautiful, everything just perfect and even really divine, that kind of place. With the sin, though, came banishment from that. From the perfection of the garden, we were driven into the curse of a sin-stricken world. There's something within us that longs for what Adam and Eve had, isn't there? The world they enjoyed. The uncorrupted by sin world. The communion with God. The without the stain of sin fellowship they experienced with him. The beauty of the garden that they enjoyed. Maybe best identified by the tree of life that was in that garden. That's it. Maybe we could call it that, say it that way. The simplicity of what they enjoyed and what was subsequently lost because of sin. Life. From them, that scene with them in the garden, from the very beginning, we jump to the very end, where we discover again this tree of life. Revelation 22 and verse 1, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And if we ever longed for the garden in the beginning, oh, don't you know, our longing then for this in the end. A beginning and an end. An eternal aching for the life that identifies both. Only to realize that that life has been eternally lost because of the death brought on by sin, beginning with Adam and Eve, yes, but the death brought on by my sin, that life eternally lost to me, eternally lost to you, except that in fact it hasn't been eternally lost because the advent, his advent, he has come. Listen to this in Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, listen now, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Do you understand? A tree at the beginning, a tree of life. A tree at the end, a tree of life. Neither ever to be experienced by any of us, sin and death plagued as we are, except that between the two, there's another tree. And Jesus, the one who saves the world from their sin, on and taking upon himself the curse so that we could have the life. Forever and ever in that great city of God where we see his face, have unbroken fellowship and communion with him, where we reign forever and ever with him. No wonder the celebration of the Advent, his Advent. He has come. The Savior who saves us has come and has taken upon himself our curse so that we can now live in his forgiveness and in his life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world. So everything began to grow old and die, for all sinned. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. Death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did, by disobeying a specific command of God, still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from the Lord. But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who will get us out of it. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who is yet to come. And what a difference between man's sin and God's forgiveness. If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead end abyss of separation from God, just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. There's no comparison between that death-dealing sin and this generous, life-giving gift. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence for everyone. But even after many failures, the gift brought God's approval. The sin of the one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. But all who would take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. Here it is in a nutshell. just as one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many in the right. The death that he died, it was my death. The cross was my cross, because the sin he bore was my sin. It was my fault. I'm the one who messed up. I was the one separated from God, not him. But so that I could live, he came and he died. It's estimated that there have been nearly 120 billion people that have lived throughout the history of this world. 120 billion sinners deserving of death. 120 billion crosses that could have covered the face of the earth. Instead, only one was needed, and it was enough. Adam caused death to be king over all, but Jesus came so that you can and could be king of life. Adam got us into trouble with sin and death, but Jesus came and gets us out of that trouble, brings to us life instead of death. He died for you, died for me, died for us all, so that we can now live in his life, abundant life, more and better life than we could ever imagine or hope for. One author says it this way: everywhere death is, Christ comes and brings life. Wherever, in whatever of your life, where there seems to be more death than life, where there seems even to be any death at all, oh, listen, but he has come. This Christmas season, this is the season of Advent, his Advent. He has come. Let him come and bring into your life his abundant life. We live in his life. We have his eternal life. Forever and ever to be with him. Forever and ever to live with him. Forever and ever to reign with him. No wonder the celebration of the Advent. No wonder this celebration of his Advent. He has come, the one called Jesus, the one who's the Savior who saves us. He has come and extended to us his forgiveness and granted to us his life and brought to us reconciliation. Adam and Eve hid from God when he came calling for them in the garden. They had reason to. They had disobeyed him. They had sinned against him. You and I have as well. But because he's come, we've been forgiven. We've been made new. No longer identified by our sin and sinfulness. The old is gone. The new has come. We've been restored. We've been reconciled to God. No longer enemies. We're friends. No longer objects of his wrath. We're recipients of his favor and his blessing. Adam and Eve hid. You and I would have reason to do the same, except that he has come. And because he has, we get his mercy, we get his grace. In mercy, we don't get what we deserve. We deserve eternal separation from him. We deserve an eternal hell for our sin and for our disobedience. Oh, but he's come. And because he has, we don't get that. We get his grace. In his grace, we get what we don't deserve, an invitation to come boldly into his throne room. We don't deserve that, but he's come. And because he has, that's exactly what we get. Listen, you don't need to hide from him. Not anymore, not ever. Hear this morning the invitation to run to him. Listen to me. In your sin, in your shame, in your failure and regret, run to Him. In your weakness, in your trouble, in your hurt, in your grief, run to Him. In your unworthiness, run to Him. You can. He invites you to. He has come so that you can and so that you would. His advent, the reminder, the celebration of this. He's come. Your sins are forgiven. The curse of sin broken over you. You have life in Him, life forevermore in Him. You are His child. He's come and brought you near to Himself. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. You don't hide from Him. You call out to Him, Abba, Father, Dad, and you run to Him in your hour of need. The advent, the reminder, the celebration also of this. He does come. It's not just about His arrival in Bethlehem. It's His arrival into our lives as well. Just when, especially when, we need Him the most. In Matthew chapter 1, He's Jesus the Savior. But He's also more than that. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call Him, you know it, Emmanuel. And why? Because God is with us. The Savior has come, and right now, into your life, into your situation, Emmanuel can come. Not only has God saved you, listen, God also is with you. In flesh appearing, He came to Bethlehem by His Spirit. Listen now, He comes into this room this morning to meet with you, to minister to you. What do you need from Him today? An assurance of His love, His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, a reminder of His friendship, that He does know you, that He does count you as His own. Listen, He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He came to Bethlehem then, but He is well. He comes to this place this morning to meet with you and to give to you the very thing you need from Him. What do you need from Him today? Wisdom? Guidance? Direction? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Do you need joy restored? Peace renewed? Have the circumstances of life for you now robbed you of both? Do you need hope renewed in the waiting for the thing you're wanting or the thing you're needing? In the wait, are you losing? Have you lost hope? Listen, He's Emmanuel, God with us, His advent. Yes, He came then, oh, but He still comes today, right here, right now, in this room, because your answer was yes. Yes, I need the wisdom. Yes, I need the guidance. Yes, I need the joy. Yes, I need the hope renewed. Listen, because He's with you, He hears you. He knows what you need. And because He's with you, out of the abundance of His supply, out of the abundance of His goodness and His graciousness, His excessive and immeasurable kindness, He can give to you. Listen now, He would give to you today the very thing you need from Him. What do you need from Him this morning? Comfort? Rescue? Do you need victory? Do you need deliverance? Do you need freedom? Do you need help? Do you need Him to provide for you? Do you need him to heal you? What do you need? Do you need his power? Simply put, you're not enough for what you're going through, what you're dealing with. You need strength apart from more than your own or what anyone else could offer or give. Once more, listen to me this morning. He's Emmanuel. He's with you. And because he is, right here, right now, you can have, you can experience and begin to live in his power like you never have before. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says it this way. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen now. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The message puts it this way. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Do you understand? In the context of Scripture, you were in your sin. You were far away from him, living in rebellion against him. Listen now. You were his enemy. And he gave to you his son. Now, track with me for a moment. This is what Paul says. Now you're not far away. You've been brought near. Now you're not his enemy. You're his friend. You're his son. You're his daughter. Do you understand? When you were at your worst, he gave you Jesus. Now, as his child, why do you think he's going to fail you? Why do you think he's not going to come through for you? You were his enemy, and he gave you his son. Now you're his son. Now you're his daughter. Won't he supply all of your needs? Won't he take care of you? For sure he will. You are his child after all. Listen, simply put, because of his advent, you can let go of sin. Yes, you can. And you can let go of condemnation. You're forgiven. You're made new. You're his child. You can live in victory, in godliness, in purity, in holiness. He who has come is Jesus, your Savior, after all. And still there's more. You can let go of fear. You can let go of worry and stress and anxiety. You can let go of confusion and doubt. You can have and live in wisdom. You can experience peace that passes understanding and joy that's indescribable. You can be healed in your heart, in your mind, in your body. You can be supernaturally and divinely empowered. He who does come is Emmanuel, God with you after all. One says it this way, the Lord is coming, always coming. When you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will recognize him at any moment in your life. Listen to what he says. Life is Advent. Life is recognizing daily, moment by moment, the coming of the Lord into your life and into your situation. But the coming and the arrival, definition of the word, the Advent also carries with it a sense of expectation. Can I encourage you in that? The expectation, the anticipation of Emmanuel, God with you, invading your life, meeting with you to give to you the very thing you most need from him. Meeting with you to minister to you just when, especially when you need him the most. The Advent, his Advent, the reminder, the celebration. He has come. He does come.
And you know where we're headed. And he will come. He came to die for the sins of all humanity. But we know it for sure, don't we? Death was not the end for him. His was a borrowed tomb. He only needed it for the weekend. That's not the way it's supposed to be with tombs. But it's the way it was for him. And the Lord to tarry, it's the way it'll be for us. Can I take a moment to remind you of that? Your loved one who has died in Christ, theirs is a borrowed grave. They won't be there forever. The trump will one day sound, very soon will sound, and they will vacate that place, not needing it anymore. He's the Savior who died. Oh, but he is the resurrected Savior who now lives. But even that wasn't the end. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Those gathered, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." He came to Bethlehem. He comes to this place this morning to meet and to minister to us all. But don't you know, he is coming. The King is coming. One says it this way: the celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater yet to come. There may be the frustration now, a troubling within the soul, poverty and imperfection, death and decay. Now, we, along with all of creation, groaning now, but there's a hope that we have, something greater to come, our ultimate, our eternal redemption when he comes. Another writes, "Look up. Look up, you whose gaze is fixed on this earth, who are spellbound by the little events and changes on the face of the earth. Look up. Look up, you who are disappointed. Look up, you whose eyes are heavy with tears. Look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Be aware. Be watchful. Wait just another short moment longer. God will come." Yes. Do that, my brother. Do that, my sister. Look up and celebrate in this season of his advent. Yes, he came then, a baby born in Bethlehem's manger. Oh, but he's coming again. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. This is the celebration this morning of his advent. Father, I pray that you would set our hearts this morning on the real reason for this season. Not that we've necessarily forgotten it, but just that we need the reminder of it. Oh, unto us a child has been born. The Savior, the light of the world, has come. Thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness that we have of all our sins. Not because we've made the good to outweigh the bad, not because we've shown up to church on a Sunday morning, not because we've gone through some sort of motion or some sort of activity. Our sins forgiven because he has come. Jesus, the Savior of the world, born in Bethlehem's manger. We're forgiven. We're set free from sin, no longer its slave anymore, children of God, no longer enemies. We thank you for that, Jesus, that you have come. Lord, I pray in this moment, would you just fill this room with your spirit and with your presence? I don't know what my brother needs. I don't know what my sister asks of you today. But would you be Emmanuel, God, with us in this room? Can we just pause for a moment? Listen, dear brother, dear sister, ask of him. Ask of him this morning. Like blind Bartimaeus, I wonder, but that he ask of you, what do you want me to do for you? Answer him. Answer him. Let him know the healing that you need. Let him know the comfort that you long for. Let him know the direction, the wisdom, the guidance that you seek. Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. Confess to him your worry, your fear, your anxiousness. Lord, all this that has bothered me, has settled in my heart, has unsettled me. Ask of him. Ask of him to give you that peace that passes understanding. Ask him to give you that joy, that unspeakable, that indescribable joy. Ask him to be your healer this morning. Come on, let faith arise in your heart. Let there be a newfound expectation and anticipation. His arrival into your life, can I ask you, what if this is the moment? What if this is the miracle moment for you? What if this is the moment he says, enough is enough. Let healing flow. Let comfort come. What if this is the moment he opens your eyes to see the direction, the way to take? With that anticipation, with that expectation, ask Emmanuel, the God who is with you, to help you this morning. What do you need from him? What do you want him to do for you this morning? And I encourage you today, my brother, my sister, look up. Look up. Jesus, we thank you that you're coming soon. We thank you that this world is not our home. The grave, not our final destination. Oh, but there's a mansion prepared for us in glory. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you're coming again. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that this year, unlike any other, more than any other, is the wonderful, wonderful celebration of his Advent. And I pray his blessing over you. Would you extend your hands to receive that this morning? I declare it over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.